I'll try again. Okay, I'll try again. If you ever find yourself struggling to think of a gift to give to the hard-to-shop-for person on your list, I would recommend buying them a refrigerator and just watch their face light up when they open it. Is that one better? Does that? All right. I'll see. Bring back next year. So that one's better. Okay. Well, grace and peace to you from our Lord Jesus Christ on this Christmas morning as we gather to worship on this cold yet sunny wintry day. Last night we had our Christmas Eve service, and it just was a gift to be able to come to again to worship, to hear the story again this year. And there was many gifts within the service, lots of grace to be experienced. And then I walked outside about 5:30 or so and took a picture of this happening. Did anyone else see last night the sun setting and the sky lit with the moon? And it was just a blessing for sure. And then last night, for the first time ever in the Potter household, we opened up all of our gifts on Christmas Eve instead of Christmas morning. And that was fun. And I got this little that extends, and it's like a fist. I'm like, well, what is this for? Well, I don't know. A couple years ago, it's the COVID fist bump, right? Yeah, I'm not good. Hey, fist bump, there you go. We could all just, I don't know. It's just one of those stocking stuffers, and I just thought I'd share it with you today. This is what, I don't know, or I can hit people with it. I don't know. I won't do that. So anyway, so that was a stocking stuffer from last night. Just sharing that with you. Restoration is here as we celebrate Christ's birth in the world and in our lives today as we worship together. There truly just is one response, and that is of complete joy. Much of our music this morning carries this theme of joy. I think we'll have joy to the world later, I think. And so in response to this amazing news, this good news, this child has been born. His name is Jesus, and his title is Emmanuel, which is God with us, God is for us, God is here, and restoration is here. Our Advent theme has been restoration is near throughout this Advent. Jesus is the who we have been anticipating and waiting and longing for. And today we celebrate in exuberant praise what God has done, God will continue to do as we experience the dance of grace and truth in the Christ child of Jesus. Today, on this Christmas morning, we're blessed to consider this text of John 1. John chapter 1, such a rich, deep, poetic, beautiful passage. The here and now, the truth, the meaning of this passage is such a gift in and of itself. It's as if John was writing this passage, put down his pen and said, man, this is good stuff. Where is this coming from? Okay. Also not funny. The Holy Spirit inspired. Okay, keep moving, Eric. It's why I'm a pastor, not a comedian. This passage starts with verse 1, this first verse of the entire gospel, and it says, in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Word, John 1:1. And it has echoes of the how the entire Bible starts in Genesis, in the beginning God. It echoes the first line of the whole story. Genesis 1:1. It appears that John is writing about a new Genesis, a new beginning, that somehow and mysteriously is connected to the Genesis of old. So we highlight this first truth this morning as we just even consider this first portion of the first verse, as if to remind ourselves that Jesus didn't appear and simply begin a new story, but that story is connected to a greater story that's been happening since the beginning of time. So that's the very first verse, and I'm just going to go ahead and skip it all the way to verse 14, because we want a shorter sermon, right, today? It's Christmas. No, let's get home for those gifts. So In verse 14, it says the Word then, in the beginning was the Word, and then in verse 14 it says the Word then became flesh and made his dwelling among us. So a closer look at this unique verse, the Word became flesh. It's an interesting idea, and it's really easy to explain. Jesus. Jesus is the Word that became flesh. What is more is that Jesus made his dwelling among us. Made his dwelling among us. And this word translated skenao is the Greek here, and it has a range of meaning. So to fix one's tabernacle, to have one's tabernacle, to abide in a tabernacle or tent, or just tabernacle itself. Also to dwell, which is how it's translated in our text this morning. Eugene Peterson's translation of this in the Message says it this way, the Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. Which I love that. Moved into the neighborhood. I like that, but it sort of gets away from dwelling in this idea of tabernacle. But what is tabernacle? Because I think it's super important to think through this on Christmas morning. So this story of Jesus is a story that began long before Jesus was a baby and came through Mary. Okay, this tabernacle tent, this tabernacle temple idea, if you trace this idea throughout scriptures, it's a very fascinating focus to be sure. And it begins in the beginning, the first Genesis. Okay, in the beginning was the Word. This is the Garden of Eden, a place where God dwelt with his creation. God was in communion with mankind in the garden. They walked around freely and were in communion. Throughout human history, God has always wanted, desired, longed to dwell with his people on the land, that is physically, where humanity and God at once in the past did walk together in the garden. They experienced presence with one another in this Garden of Eden. So God dwelled, tabernacled, with his people here on the land, Genesis 1, in Genesis chapter 1. Fast forward a little bit, and you go to the second half of the book of Exodus. And there we have a story of Moses. And Moses has an experience with God on Mount Sinai, and he has a vision. And he's given, and he sees the heavenly temple, the heavenly tabernacle where God dwells. So God instructs Moses to build a tabernacle here on earth, giving him the blueprints that would mimic, that would be a representation of God's dwelling in the heavenly temple. Because remember, God wants to dwell with his people on the land. In Exodus 25, Yahweh instructs the Israelites to collect gold, precious stones, animal skins, fine linen, and then Moses is given the reason why the Israelites are to collect all of these things. In verse 8 and 9, it says, then have them make a sanctuary. Have them make a sanctuary for me, and I will dwell among them. Make this tabernacle and all its furnishings exactly like the pattern I will show you. So this mikdash is related to another word, kadosh, that means holiness, that God is to have a holy place to dwell, a place that's unique and set apart so that God can dwell with the people. This other word here, meaning tent or tabernacle, Yahweh shows Moses the heavenly temple in this vision and then gives him a pattern to follow as he organizes the construction of a temple or tabernacle here on earth. Now, when humans enter this earthly tabernacle, this was to understand that they were to inhabit two spaces at one time, to be present or to inhabit two places, heaven and earth, as one. Every element of the tabernacle structure represented some sort of element that throws it back to the Garden of Eden. Okay, so where God was with his people and he walked freely, in communion with one another. Okay? So in this way, anytime that in the scriptures we see a place that represents Eden, it's reminding us that heaven and earth can be one. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Eden is the first tabernacle, the first place that God dwelt with his people. And it's not just a place where heaven and earth symbolically meet. It's a place where it's literally heaven and earth as one. Okay? Now, there's many times throughout scriptures where this happens. Okay? It's not just in the garden, but we could look at Solomon's temple and its connection to Jesus' new human temples in Acts chapter 2. We can look at the New Testament in Ephesians 2 and 1 Peter chapter 2 as well, where the church is God's new temple. I mean, it's just the temple theme throughout Scripture is just so fascinating, this tabernacling, this dwelling with, okay? Prior to and leading up to Jesus, in the tabernacle, only a select priest would be able to enter once a year into God's presence, the Holy of Holies. This would be in sharp contrast to the first tabernacle, the garden, where humans walked freely with their God. So the priest's activities in the tabernacle would be an enactment of humanity's eventual return to Eden to dwell with God as well. So if you're familiar with the story of the Bible, right? You know where this is going. You have Eden. God dwells with humans, mankind. Then you have tabernacle and temple. And then finally, in the presence of Jesus. And Jesus announces what? I tell you that something greater than the temple is here. In Matthew chapter 12. Eden is a space that operates outside the laws of time. So in a way, then, Eden and eternal life can be closely linked, dwelling with God. Because eternity is not a future state where we're only meant to look forward to, but eternity is a quality of existence that can be accessed at any time, even here this morning on Christmas. So this temple and tabernacle language is super important. God made his dwelling with us. And we can participate in God's life and dwell with him in the here and now. Jesus, whom we celebrate at Christmas this morning, is described as God's dwelling place. Jesus is where heaven and earth are one, because he is fully God and he is fully human. Back to our text in 1 John 14, it says that the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us, that is, he dwelt. So wherever Christ was, heaven and earth were one. And Christ would become that meeting place between God and man. And this morning on Christmas, God's walking with us once again, with mankind in the land. This is good news, right? Is this good news? Anyone? I think it's good news. David, you? Welcome back, by the way. There's a shepherd here earlier. I don't know if you saw him. Okay. So Jesus walked, lived, and I believe enjoyed life with his friends, and also suffered in this human journey here on earth. And I think he invites us to do the same. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 says this, "For we do not have a high priest, that is Jesus, who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses." Why? Well, we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet Jesus did not sin. Christ came to us as Jesus of Nazareth, fully human, fully divine, to show us what it means to be made in God's image. As Paul reminds us, Jesus is the firstborn among many brethren. He's the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Could it be, as Christians, when we walk around in this world, it might be the invitation for heaven and earth to also become one. Christ, the second person of the Trinity, Christ, the maker of the universe, willingly and lovingly left heaven, coming to this ball of dirt and water, this sin-filled planet, to live with us for a few years, to show us how to be human. Now, this work of Christmas, we've had Advent, and we are now in this Christmas season, which will lead us to Epiphany in a couple weeks. The work of Christmas begins. And so a few words from Howard Thurman to close our sermon this morning.
When the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and princesses are home, when the shepherds are back with their flock, the work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among people, to make music in the heart.
It's time for our prayer and sharing time. Steve has the microphone. What have you on your hearts on this Christmas day? It was great getting together last night. Eric alluded to the Christmas Eve service. It was great seeing some people we haven't seen for a while, reconnecting with that. That was wonderful. Ty?
Some of you know some of the family difficulties we're going through right now. This is my brother, Rhett. He normally goes to Northwoods, but they didn't have service today, so he's joining us. It's gotten worse and taken a much worse turn in the last